Hello, welcome to View from the Stand, the podcast that looks at Australian football from the A-League men's and women's competitions to the national Premier Leagues from around the country, right down to the English Premier League. And on my own this week, due to technical issues, we couldn't get Michael onto the on the line, so Mike hopefully will be back next week. So I have to do the show on my own, but that's okay. Got a big show for you tonight. As I said at the start, we're going to look at all those competitions. Got a little bit of audio to play for you from a couple of the games. And we're going to preview the Brisbane Premier League, which kicks off this weekend, and look back at the Victorian Premier League and the South Australian Premier Leagues, which kicked off last weekend. So we'll review those results and have a look and see who is playing who next week. So let's get underway. And we'll go back to last Tuesday night as we look at the A-League men's competition. That was after the last show that we did. And Melbourne City, they were at home to Adelaide United. And City got off to a good start. Jamie McLaren gave them an 11th minute lead. But it wasn't to last long, as Javi Lopez, he equalised for United in the 20th, and that was it, until the 85th minute, when Mohamed Touré came in with a very late 85th minute winner for Adelaide United. And looking at the statistics from the game, City had 19 shots to Adelaide's 10. City had 9 on target, Adelaide had 2, and they scored from both of those shots on target. And that's the name of the game, isn't it? You could have 50 shots on target. If you don't get it in the back of the net, and then it all counts for nothing. Melbourne shaded it just in the possession stakes, 52% to Adelaide United's 48. So a good win there for Adelaide United. And that was last Tuesday night. Last Wednesday, Wellington Phoenix, they had a home match, if you can call their games home these days. That was at, where was that at? Leichhardt Oval, I think, from memory. And they had a good 3-0 victory. Scott Wooden, he scored in the 33rd minute. Walter Sandoval, he's been scoring a few goals since he joined the club. He scored in the 63rd minute. And Reno Piscopo, he scored in the 67th. Another man that's been banging them in as well. Looking at the stats, if you're a stats person, it's pretty even. Wellington had 14 shots to Brisbane's 13. 5 were on target for Wellington, 4 for Brisbane. Wellington had 53% of possession to Brisbane's 47%. So it was all very, very close in everything bar the scoreline. Wellington running away with a 3-0 lead. Win, rather. Also last Wednesday, Western Sydney Wanderers, they were at home at the Combank Stadium. They played Melbourne Victory in a match with 2 out-of-form teams. Wasn't a great game, but Western Sydney Wanderers did do enough to take the points. Tate Russell scored in the 55th minute for the Wanderers, and Dimitri Petratos scored an 80th minute penalty to secure the points there for the Wanderers. And just having a look, this just shows you how two teams are out of form. There were 7 shots by Wanderers and 6 by Victory. 5 of those were on target for Wanderers, 1 for Victory. Possession was went Melbourne Victory's way, just 51% to 49. So not many shots on goal there, on target by either side. But the Wanderers, they scored a much needed win. On to the weekend, Friday night, Melbourne City were back in action. They played Newcastle Jets, and a good win there for the City. They beat Newcastle by 3-0, made up for their midweek loss to Adelaide United. Jamie McLaren, he was on the score sheet again. He scored in the second minute of injury time, the 47th minute at the end of the first half, as they went in at halftime 1-0. Matthew Leckie, he scored just after half-time in the 52nd minute. And Carl Jenkinson, He wrapped up the points for City in the 64th minute. Looking at the stats, 13 shots to 7 in favour of City, 6 on target to Jets 1. But interestingly, the possession went Newcastle Jets' way 53-47%. But there again, the scoreline doesn't show that, doesn't reflect that at all, with City winning 3-0. What else have I got for you? We have Wellington Phoenix and Sydney FC, a match I went to on Saturday. Wellington are in a really good form at the moment. As we said last week, they've gone from bottom of the ladder in a matter of a couple of weeks up to towards the top. And in fact, at the moment, they're seventh, but it's so tight. They're 18 points. They're only 4 points behind second. So, a couple of wins, and you're right up there at the moment. But it was 1-1. David Ball, he scored in the 43rd minute for Wellington. And Sydney FC's Bobbo, who came on for Adam Lafondra in the second half, he scored in the 67th minute. Sydney had plenty of opportunities to score more goals. They probably could have scored 2 or 3 by half time. They hit the post. They had one cleared off the line. They had other opportunities, but it wasn't. It was the finishing up front than the final third that let them down on the weekend. And to show you the dominance that Sydney had, Wellington had 14 shots to Sydney's 25. 9 of Sydney's were on target to 3 of Wellington's. And possession went Sydney's way 53-47. It seems to be the story of a few of the games here on the weekend. Pretty tight possession-wise. But Sydney FC won. Wellington won. That was an away match. It was played down there at Leichhardt, MacArthur. They played Adelaide United. That was on Saturday. And a good win for MacArthur Rams. MacArthur Bulls. I keep getting them mixed up with the Rams, who, of course, are the NPL League One side in the operation. They had a good win. Gianno, he scored in the 43rd minute. That's always a good time to score, isn't it? Actually, before then, Craig Goodwin. He got Adelaide off to a flyer in the 20th minute with a goal. Then Gianno, he scored in the 43rd minute. Craig Noon in the 67th. Al Hassan Toure in the 73rd. And Michael Roos in the 91st minute to give the points there to MacArthur. And had a bit of a funny week, MacArthur. Had that 3-3 draw with Central Coast last week, if you remember that one. And of course, they beat Brisbane 3-0. And of course, that 4-1 victory there, which was a great result for them. We're going to hear from their coach, Ante Milicic, now. Give me a break and a little drink of water. Let's see what Ante had to say about the game.
Season and I'm sure it brings confidence to the playing group.
Oh, I guess it's the pleasing thing as well, not just that you went out and won the game, but after you got the second goal, it really seemed to sort of liberate the team. They played with the freedom and they went on and just carried on. They didn't sort of settle for just the win.
No, and, at the same time, you have to understand with the layoff we had and then the short space of time games took its toll on the place. So this was a little bit different leading for us. We had 6 days between games. We were able to spend a bit more time on the training ground. And even when we were goaled down, I thought we started quite well. We didn't panic. We subs made a great impact. You know, when we went up, we were more confident as well. So, yeah, it was very pleasing that we just didn't sort of sit back. We wanted more. The boys seemed to be enjoying themselves out there. So, yeah, very, very pleased for the playing group because it's been a real difficult, a couple of months for us.
How important do you think getting that goal just before half-time was in terms of going in a level rather than behind?
Yeah, well, it changes the momentum. You know, it changes the momentum. And when you haven't won for quite a few weeks, it's normal that the confidence is not where it should be. But at the same time, as I said, we really felt that we were in a good position at half-time by the way we were playing. In that first 45 minutes, and the players remained calm. They didn't play the scoreboard. They knew that there's enough quality in this team that we could keep creating more in the second half, and that's what we did.
Just a word on Lee's performance. That's probably the best he's played for you guys. Is it an indication that he's getting back to his best? Obviously, he's had a few injuries, and there was COVID break and things like that. But do you feel like he's starting to get back to his best form?
Yeah, and it's good that you mentioned Uli because we lost Uli in the Central Coast game through injury, and tonight again, I understand he's an excellent attacking player and the opposition target him, but he just gets kicked way too often, and that's part of the game. I understand, but what we're just asking for is a little bit more protection, because it really not only stops the play, but the momentum. And as I said, we've already lost him once this season through injury, and it's a shame because we bring these kind of players to our country, and you can see now that he's starting to get a lot more fitter. His timing's better. He's starting to get a bit more connection now with Upper also and with Looney. So he's getting back to that form he showed in the early parts of the season. So we're delighted to have him. But we have to, again, make sure that we keep him on the park for an extended period of time because we're a better footballing team with our skipper on the park.
Yeah. I guess a sour note seems to be what looked like a fairly nasty hamstring injury for Danny then.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. And I think that was a combination of sort of, using his body, trying to protect the ball, potentially the loads, even though, we rested him last week in Brisbane. I put him on the bench for the first 45 to try to look after him, and tonight I think it was just one of those things. But yeah, he's not moving too freely. So we're disappointed to lose Danny because he's been excellent for us. He's been a real constant threat to opposing teams with his positive play, so to speak. So that's one that we're going to have to see how that goes in the next few days.
And I guess just looking ahead to the Perth game, I guess the challenge is just to make sure that you keep up that level of performance and get a similar result down in Tassie.
Get the performance right gives you a chance of getting a result. So that's the thing. If we can play to our capabilities, to our potential, if we can execute the things that we work on and that we know we can for longer periods throughout the game, we're a good chance of picking up the points. So yeah, tonight was an excellent victory for us, but we've got to go to Tasmania for another difficult game and back up, and then we're off to Newcastle on the Friday for another tough game on Saturday. We don't want to look too far ahead, but at the same time, that's just the way it's been for us, particularly last week when we had to maybe rotate a few players, rest a few players, see how they pull up. Again, tonight we missed, Jovanovic, Tommy Uskok, Tommy Juric, Jake Coleman for various reasons. Will any of those be available? That's another thing we need to look at. But we're definitely giving opportunities to some boys, and I'm glad tonight that particularly Rus and first one, and you know, I thought it was a very well taken goal as well. So if he can now stay fit and recover, work on those combinations with his teammates, particularly in the front third, you know, I'd like to think that there'll be more goals coming from Apple, but he's been fantastic since he's come.
That was Ante Milicic with his view and analysis on MacArthur Bulls' performance last week against Adelaide United in their 4-1 victory. Carl Viet, let's have a listen to see what Carl's got to say. It's not as long, this one. Come on, Carl.
Carl, I guess, given you had to
Carl.
Stand up and you know, provide the same effort as the opposition, you're going to get results like that tonight.
I guess Joe Gauci, on the night we conceded 4 goals, he actually really had a pretty good game for a goalkeeper. He made some very important saves. So I guess for him, at least, that's a slight positive he could take out of the evening.
Yeah, I suppose, but you know, it's a team game and we all have to fulfill our roles out there. You know, as you said, Joe. Some good saves, but at the end of the day, you know, the performance from the team was not acceptable.
What about, I guess, the ongoing situation with Stefan? You keep him. I think you said after the game he's probably going to still be there for the weekend as well. Is it a good thing for you, or is it a bit frustrating that it's taking so long, or are you happy to just have Steph for as long as you can?
We're more than happy to have Steph as long as we can, and we know it's. Are opening their borders up in March, so we know he will be gone after next week's game, Central Coast. So, you know, hopefully we can send him off with a better performance and get points next week.
And I guess just finally, you gave the start to Zach Clough. How do you think he went, and how is he sort of settling in?
He's settling in well. He showed glimpses tonight. He just needs to get his match conditioning up. He's still getting used to our style of play a little bit. Also, the hardness of the grounds is taking a little bit of toll on his body. But I think he will be a good player for us in the long term. We just need to be able to find him in those spaces that on the pitch. He had a lot of space there tonight, but we just couldn't get the ball to him.
Yeah, just one last one from me. I think they were saying in commentary that Craig's goal puts him one off Bruce's record of all-time goal scoring for the club. I mean, it just shows. I mean, he's had a couple of stints for the club, but it shows how good he's been for Adelaide when he's been playing for him, doesn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. He has that little bit of quality for us in the front third, and has a lot of assists and a lot of goals for us. And that's what we get from players that have that quality.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate it, mate.
No worries, thank you.
That was Carl Viet, Adelaide United coach, with his thoughts on their 4-0 loss to MacArthur Bulls on the weekend. Looking at some other results, Melbourne Victory. They played Central Coast on Saturday and beat them by 1-0. Very late 94th minute goal by Mishan Velupillay. A very late 94th minute goal there to give Melbourne Victory the points there, and it was very close in all the statistics as well. 11 shots to 10, two shots on target for Victory and one on target for Central Coast. It wasn't much in the way of the finishing in the final third, was there? Getting anything on target? Only three shots from both teams over 90 minutes. Possession was Central Coast ways, 57% to 43%. So it looks like a very lucky win there for Melbourne Victory. Perth Glory, they played Brisbane Roar in their first match down in Tasmania. Bruno Fornaroli, he got two goals. He got a brace. First one was a penalty early on in the 8th minute, and the second one was in the 73rd minute. We've got audio here from both Richard Garcia and Warren Moon. Let's see what these two gentlemen thought about the match down there in Tasmania last week.
Subs came on, we started to get a hold of it again, which was great. I thought the subs that came off the bench did a fantastic job in having an impact on the match.
Absolutely. It seemed like you started well, you had a lot of control and possession and territory in the first 25 minutes, but didn't create much and then just seemed to go off the boil there. Like, what was the message to the guys at half time?
Just to be a little bit more patient. You know, I thought the first 10-15 we were very patient with our play. We tried to draw Brisbane out, and then after the goal, we sort of were very eager to get forward again, and then started to give it away. So we're going to keep sticking to the plan, make sure that we're fully focused for the full 90, and that we display the same behaviours. It's something that we keep talking about to the players, is that we want the behaviours to remain, the behaviours to be continual throughout the 90 minutes.
It seemed like it was pretty windy out there. What kind of impact did that have on the game?
Yeah, as you can tell, you know, I think some of the guys' touches weren't always the best. And, yeah, there was a bit of a swatter around the ground, but, you know, I think both teams did okay with it. It's a difficult one considering, you know, you're not sort of for that sort of weather.
You've got to back up against pretty quickly. Obviously, you've got these three games in a week there in Launceston. How do you approach the second match there? Do you look to kind of mix things up a little bit, selection-wise?
Look, I think we're going to have to review everyone and make sure that everyone is feeling 100% or as good as they can feel. It's going to be a tough ask for some of those guys to back it up. But we'll have to make a few changes to freshen up the lineup. But at the moment, you know, there's quite a few guys that are performing from the bench, so, you know, there's opportunities for them to be able to start games and play, which is fantastic. And then, you know, then there's another short turnaround come Sunday again. So it's going to be a big week. And I think the whole squad is looking forward to playing as many games as possible.
I know there's always scrutiny and questions to you about Daniel Sturridge each week, and obviously he had another cameo off the bench today, but is it still too soon to talk about him starting or playing a full half of football yet?
I think he needs to, you know, find his feet. I think he's still finding his feet, not only within the team, but within the league. The tempo and the transition element of the game in Australia is probably a little bit different than he's used to. So he's going to take some time to do that, but he's been fantastic. He's been fantastic around the place. And, you know, I think everyone, when he gets the ball, is anticipating something unbelievable. I think in time, those touches will turn into unbelievable passes and unbelievable goals.
And last one for me, in terms of Bruno, that touch of class for the second goal there, I guess you're not surprised by that, I would imagine.
No, fantastic to see Bruno score. But even more pleasing was to see him in the final minutes of the game run 50 metres to defend. And that is fantastic from a striker. You know, I thought Andy Keogh did the same when he came on. Was very, very good, not only in attack but in defence, and that's something that we keep preaching to our strikers, that we want to defend as a team and we want to attack as a team. So guys struggled with it at times. But look, it's something that they're going to have to adapt to quickly because we've got another game on Wednesday and then another one on Sunday. So it is our home ground at the moment, and it's fantastic. And the guys have really embraced that at the moment. So that's something that we could possibly use to our advantage if we get used to it in time.
And just with obviously playing a lot of games in a week, is that a good thing for your players to sort of get those minutes under their belts for the rest of the season?
Look, I think their eagerness to actually play games is the biggest one. It's going to be testing on their bodies. It's definitely going to be testing on their bodies. But I think the whole league is in that scenario at the moment where there is a lot of games for a lot of clubs, and we're going to be the ones that actually have to do a lot of games back to back. So, you know, we've got to be prepared for that. The players have got to be prepared for that. You just hope it doesn't take away from the quality of the games. And that's probably the biggest issue.
Cheers, Richard. Best.
Okay, Nick Taylor.
Yeah, just a couple there, quick, Richard. I just had a quick look at the table, and as incredible as it sounds, you're now only 7 points off third place, and there's about five teams all on 18. It just shows how quickly this league's going to change with the games at hand you've got, hopefully, for you.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's something that you can't really pay a lot of attention to at the moment, the league table. With so many games coming up in a row, and it's sort of been a very even league this year. You know, you see teams when they have two or three results, they pop up the table. So I think it's about really making sure that we keep chipping away at it, keep making sure our performances improve week by week, and keep getting the results we want. We want to win every game, and that's something that the guys have got in their head, that every game they approach, they actually want to win. But we've just got to be fully focused on our performance and progressing as a team. And then come the end of the season, that's when we can have a look at the table.
And you just mentioned then, you know, the games coming back-to-back-to-back don't affect the quality. I mean, that wasn't the best quality of game out there today, but I guess, as you say, you want to win, and you'll take a win. You'll take the 3 points from a game like that.
Yeah, it's a sign of a decent team that actually win when they're not at their best. I thought we saw glimpses of some very good stuff, and I never really felt like the guys were out of control, but just the simple basics weren't at their best today. And that probably had to do a little bit with the new surface, new environment with the wind swirling and things like that. But at the same time, you know they need to improve that area of the game.
You ask Aaron Calver's injury, is it a pinched nerve in the back or
jarred? He got his tailbone and didn't feel great after it. So we didn't want to take too many risks being, in the area that it is. So we'll have to reassess it or assess it and figure out how he fits in the next couple of games.
Sure, and first time we've seen Sturridge, Bruto and Andy together as one in the same side, something obviously the fans will be looking forward to. Are you going to try and use them more often that way?
Yeah, I think they combine very well together, and they've got to find rhythm, and they've got to gel with each other. The more they play, the more you're going to figure out how to play with each other, and that's going to be an exciting one when that eventually does happen.
Yep, good. Thanks, mate. Speak to you next week.
Thanks, mate.
That was Richard Garcia, coach of Perth Glory, with his thoughts on the game. Very interesting they were too. As we said there, Perth Glory have relocated down to Tasmania for a few games. Hopefully they'll be able to get home to their homes over in Perth eventually. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with Daniel Sturridge, won't it? At the moment, he's only coming on towards the end of the game, making cameos, whether it's his fitness. As Richard said, there is the tempo of the game. Maybe he's not in up to speed with it all at the moment. But we'll just have to wait and see whether he'll be back next season. I'm not sure. Anyway, let's see what Warren Moon had to say, the coach of Brisbane Roar.
Have a nice evening. Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Hey, Warren.
How you going?
Yeah, good. Tough loss for the boys today. Obviously, on the backup. How you feeling about it?
Disappointed. Very disappointed. We, from my perspective, I felt like we shot ourselves in the foot. We started really poorly and deservedly gave a penalty away. You know, and it's no one's fault but our own. We really passive, really lethargic in that first 5-10 minutes and paid the price. But from there, we controlled the game. And again, we got on top and probably should have taken some chances that came our way. Again, you know, that's something that we're struggling with at the moment. So, half-time 1-0, and again, controlling the second half, had some good chances, and, you know, just again, it's just an absolute killer. The way we conceded that second goal was embarrassing. So, you know, there's not much more to say. We just have to pick ourselves up and have to be better, because right now, you know, we're finding ways to lose football matches.
Is the away form a concern? Obviously, decent record in Brisbane, but 6 out of 7 losses to seize on the road. Is that something that's now starting to become, you know, sort of an issue with, so I guess, with the coaching staff and the players?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a performance issue. It's players not doing their jobs and standing up when counted. You know, we've had performances at home where we've won, but, you know, our performance level from some of our away games haven't been too bad. As well, we just need to make sure we're more clinical in what we do. You know, this problem's not about home and away. This problem's about us as a group, about how we need to improve moving forward and cut out the silly mistakes that were pretty much been there from round one.
Obviously, the big talking point from the first half, Juan Lascano being subbed off near the end of the half. Was that tactical, or is he carrying an injury, or what's the situation there?
Look, it's you know, you can tell right now I'm not happy with certain aspects of the performance from our boys, and you know, I subbed off one, but I could have subbed off 3 or 4 more. So, you know, and the boys were told that at halftime as well. You know, in no way, shape or form was that good enough. You know, from some of our players today. So, we just all have to be better as a group. You know, collectively, from the staff to the players, we have to be better because. There's a talented squad in there somewhere, but right now we're struggling to find that consistency. And, you know, we've now, from our home win to these two away games, it just hasn't been good enough on the road.
Obviously, next game Friday night at home against Melbourne Victory. Is there trips coming back? Obviously, Rio Wada played minutes last night at in a pre-season. Tom Aldred as well got minutes. Is there going to be a competitive spot in the squad?
Look, we hope so. I feel like we need our captain back. You know, we need a fresh injection of some quality just to give us a boost. Right now, like I said, it's been a disappointing last couple of games. And, you know, the positive about bringing Luke in tonight, he got through 30 minutes, which was good. But, you know, we need our key players back, fit and on the park, so get a bit of minutes. Because right now, like I said, for whatever combinations we're trying, we're just finding ways to lose matches.
Yeah. That's all for me. Thanks, Warren.
Hey,
want to jump in? Adrian, you there?
Sorry, I just unmuted myself. Well, Warren, is it more of a confidence issue than anything else? I mean, you're capable of playing some good football in patches, as we saw in that final 20 minutes of the first half, where you could easily have scored a goal or two.
Look, I think so. It could be confidence, it could be a mentality or a mindset thing right now. You know, we certainly didn't ask them to start the game as passively as we did. You know, and it, you know, I think that we just have to find a way out of this right now. It's really, really disappointing that we can put on spells of good football, like you've said, create chances. And look, I haven't seen the stats, but I certainly know we've created probably more chances than they did today and had enough chances to score.
I think it was something, the shot telling was something like 17-7 in your favour at the end there, but can you still, even though you're obviously very frustrated and disappointed, can you extract any positives at all, any individuals that you felt stood above the general malaise?
Well, look, I think that's the positive that we have to look to, is that, you know, apart from one game this year where I felt like we just didn't lay a glove on the team, we've been in every game competing, creating chances, spells of dominance, and today we had large spells of dominance. You know, obviously they had the goal to protect, but we had control of the football match. So, and we're still creating chances in that moment of dominance. So, the positives of that, we've got something to work with. We've got hopefully some key players that might come back for us soon, and we have to keep believing and keep looking to try and find a way to turn this around. And that's the positives. And in regards to today, it's look, I think it's just disappointing all round. I don't think everyone was below par today. We had some good performances, but, you know, ultimately we've lost, so the emotion's still raw, and we have to pick ourselves up again.
You mentioned you like to have some key personnel coming back soon. Is there anyone likely to be back for the next match, and was everybody pulling up all right today, as far as you know?
Well, look, our captain's not far away. We hope Tom won't be far away. Rio Wada, our new signings, got through 60-odd minutes in a local competitive match back in Brisbane. We unfortunately lost Nicola Mille-Isnes for a couple of weeks now, and Alex Parsons is sidelined with an injury. So they're the players that we're going to miss for a bit. But yeah, we hope to have those back, and Connor Chapman might be a couple of weeks yet still. So, if all things going well, we might have two bodies back the next week.
Nice. Thanks very much, Warren. Good luck going ahead as well.
Thanks, Adrian. Cheers, mate.
That was Warren Moon, coach of Brisbane Roar. And he was talking there about the stats. He was saying that he thought Brisbane had a lot more shots. Well, they certainly did. They had 17 shots to Perth 7. Five of Brisbane's were on target, three of Perth's. And Brisbane controlled the possession as well, just 53-47%. So if Warren's listening to this show, he was right. They certainly did. Another match last night, Western United versus Western Sydney Wanderers. And boy, did this have a talking point, didn't it? If you haven't seen it, Ben Garuccio's scorpion goal in the 68th minute. What a fantastic goal. It's going to be shown all around the world for some time, I would imagine. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. It's fantastic. Ball came in from the left, and it came just slightly behind him. And he's flicked it with his, I think it was his left heel, over his head, into the goal. Fantastic by Ben Garuccio. And, fantastic. Every time I saw it, I got... couldn't believe what I'd seen. Alessandro Prijevic, he got Western United underway in the 27th minute. Then Garuccio scored his first in the 47th minute. Then that spectacular goal in the 68th. Western Sydney Wanderers, Tamar Hamad scored a penalty in the 51st. And Stephen Ugarkovic scored a great goal as well in the 86th minute. And I think that just about wraps up all the games from the weekend. Let me have a look. Yes, it does. We'll have a look at the table in a tick coming up this weekend. In fact, during the week, tomorrow, Melbourne City, they're at home to Central Coast Mariners at 7:55 p.m., which is Tuesday night, which I should say, the 22nd of, where are we, February. Then Wednesday night, Perth Glory. No, they're not. That game's been postponed. But Wednesday night, on the 23rd, Newcastle Jets, they're at home to Western Sydney Wanderers. That's a 7:55 p.m. kickoff up there up in Newcastle. Western United, they're at home to Sydney FC on Wednesday night also. 5:25 kickoff there. That'll be a good game. That match is being played at the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium. Also on Wednesday, Perth Glory are playing Macarthur Rams, 7:55 p.m. kickoff. That match is down there in Tasmania at UTAS. If you're listening to us down in Tasmania, get along. Get along and watch some A-League football. Should be a good game, that one. Perth Glory and MacArthur. I'll catch up with the replay of that sometime during the week. Friday night, Brisbane Roar. They're at home to Melbourne Victory with a 7:55pm kickoff. Newcastle Jets versus MacArthur on Saturday at 5:05. Adelaide United versus Central Coast Mariners on Saturday, also the 26th of Feb, 7:45. This will be a terrific match, this one. Sydney FC versus Melbourne City. That's a 7:45pm kickoff on Saturday the 26th, and you'll be able to catch that live on Channel 10 or Paramount Plus, whatever you fancy. Western Sydney Wanderers on Sunday. They play Wellington Phoenix at 6:45. And don't Western Sydney Wanderers need to get back onto winning ways? But Wellington Phoenix, they're a tough nut to crack at the moment. Perth Glory, they play Western United on Sunday, the 27th of February, 6:45pm kickoff. And that is also at the UTAS Stadium. So as I said, if you're listening to us down in Tasmania, get along and catch some live A-League action. That's what I'm trying to say. I think that's about it for the weekend. Perth Glory versus Western, that was the last match, yes. And then we'll have a look at next week's matches next week. All right, moving on to the A-League women's competition. And after our last show, last Tuesday night, Western Sydney Wanderers, they played Canberra United. And that game ended up being a 5-0 win to Canberra United, rather. Michelle Heyman scored in the 22nd minute. Chelsea Washington in the 34th. Chloe Middleton in the 66th. And Margot Rabin in the 85th and 90 minutes. Two late goals there from Margot. Canberra United, who haven't been performing that well this season. They're down towards the bottom of the season. But they certainly put it together in this one, didn't they? Doubled the shots from Western Sydney. They had 22 to Western Sydney Wanderers 11. They had 16 on target to Western Sydney Wanderers 5, and possession just went their way as well, 52-48%. So, full time there, Canberra United defeated Western Sydney Wanderers by 5-0. Last Wednesday, the 16th of February, Melbourne Victory and Sydney FC drew 2-2. It's the first points that Sydney FC have dropped since their draw with Western Sydney Wanderers earlier in the season. And it was the first goals they'd conceded for something like 12 or 13 hours of football. So the record has ended by Melbourne Victory. And well done to them. They played very well. Princess Sabini, she scored in the 50th minute with a great goal. That was doubled by Remy Siemensen in the 60th minute before Leah Privatelli scored in the 68th, and Catherine Zimmerman, she got a late equaliser in the 92nd minute. Sydney FC dominated the shots though, 21-11, at 8 on target to Melbourne Victory 6. I think that tells the story. Melbourne Victory just had the possession 53-47. Great game, that was too. On Friday the 18th of February, Wellington Phoenix, they played Adelaide United and went down by 4-1. For Adelaide, Chelsea Dorber scored 2 in the 5th and 59th minute. Zoe McMeekin in the 34th, which was actually an own goal. Fiona Watts in the 55th. For Wellington, Gracie Jallet scored in the 25th minute there. And they were really outdone in every department there. 18 shots by Adelaide to Wellington's 8. There wasn't much on target. 5 for Adelaide, 3 to Wellington. And Wellington actually had more of the possession, 57-43. But at the end of the day, it's what you stick into the back of the net that counts. What else have we got here? Melbourne Victory on Saturday the 19th. They went down to Perth Glory by 2-0. Mia Leaf Yarns in the 69th minute. And Lena Karmas in the 73rd minute got the goals there for Perth Glory. Newcastle Jets and Western Sydney Wanderers drew 2-2 up there at the number 2 showground. Western Sydney got off to a good start. Ashley Crofts scored in the 40th minute well, not a good start. It was late in the first half, but they got the first goal, if you know what I mean. Elizabeth Eadie scored a 59th minute penalty. And then in the 76th minute, Ashley Crofts, looks like she got a double. Then Ashley Brodigan scored a 92nd minute equaliser for Newcastle Jets in a very close game. On yesterday, Sunday, Melbourne City inflicted the first victory on Sydney FC with a 2-1 victory. Rihanna Polisina scored in the 13th minute. Caitlin Torpy in the 46th minute, in 1 minute of injury time. Princess Sabini got another goal from the penalty spot to give Sydney some sort of hope. But it wasn't to be in the 79th minute. So their first loss of the season. And it's the first two matches that they've had to travel as well. So maybe that's got something to do with all the other games have all been played at home. And what else have we got for you? That was yesterday. Canberra and Melbourne Victory play tomorrow at 5:25. They'll be down there at Viking Park. On Thursday the 24th of Feb, Melbourne City, they're at home to Brisbane Roar at 7:45. Friday the 25th, Canberra United, they're at home again at Viking Park to Newcastle Jets at 5:25. Adelaide United, they play Melbourne Victory on Saturday the 26th with a 4:50 kickoff. Perth Glory, they play Sydney FC on Sunday at 5:04 down there in Tasmania at UTAS. So you get a chance to check out some A-League women's football as well. And on Sunday the 27th, Western Sydney, they're at home to Wellington. So that's what's coming up in the women's game for you over the next week. Alrighty, what else have I got for you this week? Got a fair bit to get through. I'd also like to thank MacArthur Rams and Perth Glory for those audio interviews. It's always great to hear the opinions of the coaches and what they thought, and you also hear the emotion too of either the winners or the losers. So thank you to those two clubs, the only ones that send me anything. Alrighty. Just having a drink of water. Let's have a look and see what's happening up in Brisbane this weekend. It's round one of the National Premier League up there in Brisbane. And we're going to go through the matches for you. Peninsula Power, they're at home at AJ Kelly Park, number one. They play Brisbane City. Peninsula Power, of course, have been a big power up there in the last few seasons, always up towards the top of the table. Didn't get to the grand final last year, but they're always there or thereabouts over the last few years. Brisbane City, of course, the old NSL team, formerly Brisbane Azzurri pre-1977. They spent last season in MPL League 2, I guess it was called, I'm not sure. But they got relegated the season before, but they're back. They're back up with the big boys. So it'd be interesting to see how Brisbane City go this season. Gold Coast United, they played the Brisbane Roar youth team, I think they are. That's down there at the Coplicks Family Sports Park on Saturday the 26th with a 6 p.m. kickoff. The Peninsula Power game, by the way, is on Friday the 25th at 7:30 p.m. And Friday the 25th is actually Michael's birthday. So happy birthday to Mike on Friday. It's also George Harrison's birthday on the same day. So happy birthday to George. Logan Lighting. Let's see, I've just got to move this up a bit. Logan Lighting, they play Gold Coast Knights. That's at, and I have trouble with these names. Cornubia Park, number one. That's on Saturday the 26th at 6 p.m. So get along there if you're a Logan fan. And, or if you're a Gold Coast Knights fan, you can travel up a bit. Capella Bar FC, they are at home to Lions FC. Of course, Lions FC, formerly Brisbane Lions, back in the NSL. Previous to that, they were Hollandia Inala, from memory. They play out at Richlands But this match is being played at Capella Bars Ground at Max Haynes Field number 1. So get along to that one. Lions FC, of course, won the grand final last year against Olympic, and they will be up there again this season, I would imagine. On Saturday also, oh, that game kicks off at 6 p.m. if you want to get along to that one, if you listen to us up that way. 6:30 p.m. Saturday the 26 p.m. we have Moreton Bay United versus Sunshine Coast Wanderers. They're playing at Walter Park number 1. And finally on Sunday, Mike's Olympic FC. They're at home at Goodwin Park. 6 p.m. Sunday the 27th, and they're playing Eastern Suburbs. So get along to one of those matches. Alrighty, moving right along. We got the Victoria men's competition kicked off last weekend. And as soon as I can get the thing up here, I can give you the results. Whoop, that's a bit big. There we go. Just gotta move it down a little bit. And the first match was last Friday night. That was at Lakeside Stadium between two old rivals, which go back a long way. South Melbourne FC versus Heidelberg United. Two old protagonists from the NSL days, and previously to that, South Melbourne Hellas, of course, a powerhouse in Victorian football, as well with Heidelberg United Alexander, who pre-NSL, or I think at the start the NSL, actually called Fitzroy Alexander before they moved out Heidelberg way to the Olympic Sports Field. But South Melbourne were way too strong. They defeated Heidelberg by 3-1 and have bragging rights from the first week of the competition up there. Dandenong City, they played on Friday night also. That was at Frank Holleran's soccer complex. And they played Melbourne Knights, of course, Melbourne Knights, formerly known as Melbourne Croatia. One of the other powerhouses of the NSL and Melbourne Victorian football. And they continued their dominance to show the flex their muscles with a 5-0 victory over Dandenong City. Oakley Cannons, they were at home on Friday also, the 18th, at Jack Edwards Reserve. They played Green Gully. Green Gully, another ex-NSL club and another powerhouse down there in Victorian football. Of course, Green Gully Ajax, as they used to be known back in the old days. They're now known as Green Gully Soccer. I'm sure Ajax is still part of their thing. They defeated Oakley Cannons by 3-2. And also we have Avondale. They played Bentley Greens at Avenger Park, and that was on Saturday the 19th, and they defeated Bentley Greens by 3-1. There are a couple of clubs in the Victorian scene of slowly making their way up on the scene in Victorian football, and have made some good strides in recent years, both in the FFA Cup. Both Bentley Greens have had a couple of good seasons in that, and Avondale had a good run this season as well. Port Melbourne Sharks, they played St Albans Saints. That was at J.L. Murphy SS Anderson Oval. And that was a 1-1 draw, Port Melbourne Sharks. Another team that we saw in the FFA Cup this season. We gave them a bit of a preview and a bit of a chat about earlier on in the year. Dandenong Thunder. Saturday on the 19th, they played Eastern Lions, and won that by 2-1. And finally, on Saturday the 19th at Paisley Park, pitch number 1, I think it says Paisley Park. I wonder if it's Prince's old home. I think that was called Paisley Park. Eltona Magic versus Hume City. Hume City were another team that had a good run in the FFA Cup, in which we had a look at earlier in the season as well when they played Port Melbourne Sharks. We covered both of those teams on that show. If you want to know a little bit of history on both of those, you can go back to one of the previous episodes and listen to that. And that was a 0-0 draw. So after round 1, that left the table looking like this. Melbourne Knights on goal difference, they have 3 points. South Melbourne FC, 3 points. Avondale, their third, 3 points. Green Gully, 3 points, their fourth. Dandenong Thunder, a fifth with 3 points. St Albans Saints, they have 1 point on their sixth. Port Melbourne Sharks, they are seventh with 1 point. Altona Magics, they've got 1 point on eight. Hume City, their ninth. Then the rest of the teams yet to register a point. 10th is Oakley Cannons. Early days, of course, only one game, but it gives you an idea. 11th is Eastern Lions. 12th, Bentley Greens. 13th, Heidelberg. And 14th, Dandenong City. Coming up this weekend in the Victorian game. Let me have a look. We have, if I just click on that, and click on that, I can tell you, whoop, that's a bit too big. This weekend, we have on Friday the 25th of February, Melbourne Knights. They're at home at the Knights Stadium. They're playing Avondale. It should be a good game. Green Gully, they're at home at Green Gully Reserve. They play Altona Magic. Bentley Greens, they're hosting South Melbourne at Kingston Heath. Great soccer complex, that is. Eastern Lions, they're playing Oakley Cannons at Gardeners Creek Reserve. Hume City, they're at home to Port Melbourne Sharks in a replay of the match that was in the FFA Cup. That's at the ABD Stadium in Broadmeadows Valley. Heidelberg United, they're at home for the first time this season at Olympic Village. They're playing Dandenong Thunder. It's St Albans. They play Dandenong City a message came up on my thing here. St Albans are playing Dandenong City, and that's at Churchill Reserve, pitch number one. That's on Sunday the 27th. I'm just about running out of time, I believe, so I will quickly go through the South Australian matches from last weekend. Where are we? If I run out of time, I've got a minute to go. So quickly, we will say Adelaide City 3, Campbelltown City 1, Adelaide United 1, Sturt Lions 3, Cumberland United 1, Croydon Kings 2, FK Beograd 0, South Adelaide 3, Adelaide United 2, Metro Stars 3, WT Bacala 0, Adelaide Comets 5. Okay, apparently I've just about run out of time, so I will say good night for this week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you've enjoyed the interviews we had with those coaches. And whatever you do this week, enjoy your football. Thank you very much for listening. This is Steve Perry. Don't forget, if you want to listen to some more, you can catch me on Radio Blue Mountains 89.1, streaming at rbm.org.au, Thursday nights between 8 and 10. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your football.